Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording. Can I call somebody al-azim? No. Can I call somebody azim? Yes. Can I call somebody al-jabbar, the most mighty? Can I call somebody jabbar? Yes. What's the difference?
Did you say al in the beginning?
When you say,
When you say al, it means the.
Yes.
So that's referring to Allah?
Allah, that's right. Which is referring to Allah. So, this is one thing. Okay. If I want to name somebody, can I call somebody Abdul Azim?
Yeah.
Abdul Azim. Meaning the son of, the slave of Al-Azim. Can I call somebody Abdul Jarbar? Huh?
Yeah.
Yes. If you have Abd followed by one of the names of greatness of Allah or one of the names of Allah, it is correct. You can call this. What's if she's a girl? What is Abd if she's a girl?
I don't know.
Girl is Amma. Girl slave is Amma. Amma. Or if you, it's a ta' marbuta, sorry, you say Ammatullah. So Abdullah or Amatullah. Abdullah or Amatullah. Or Abdul Jabbar or Amatul Jabbar. Good. MashaAllah. Alright. Can I swear? I say I swear by the sun? Or I swear by the fig?
No. Only Allah can do that.
Okay. So can I swear, can say, I swear by the town of Mecca?
No.
Can I say, I swear in the sun, by the sun?
No.
No. Okay. So the only swear that I can say is?
Swear by Allah.
Why Allah? So you say, Wallahi al-Azim. You say, Wallahi al-Azim. Okay? Okay, you don't swear by anything other than Allah. Now, how about Allah? Can Allah swear by anything?
Yes.
Yes. Allah swears by any of His creation. And when Allah swears by any of His creation, He intends to get the attention. You swear to confirm that you're not a liar, right? When Allah is swearing, is it to confirm that He's not a liar? Astaghfirullah al-Azim? No. So he swears, then what's why Allah is swearing? Huh?
To get your attention.
To get your attention, mashallah. Mashallah. To get your attention. That's right. So Allah wants to capture your attention. So he puts that qasam in the middle to capture your attention. Okay? So especially in the issues that are debatable. The debatable issues are the issues that like distribution of wealth. Distribution of wealth, for example. Who is rich, who is poor? Who makes $1 million, who makes $10 million? Who makes like $60, who makes $100? Okay? So, regarding these issues, people think that it's not specified, it's not the rizq is not guaranteed, it's not pre-assigned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by His name to say, I swear by the Lord of heavens and earth that this is true as the fact you are talking. So Allah is swearing to get our attention to an issue, especially this issue which is debatable issue, like people talk and argue a lot about the distribution of wealth or the shares of wealth distributed by Allah on people. Okay. Now, how about the word Allah itself? What's the root of the word Allah? Huh? It's called Aliha. The word of Allah is called Aliha. So just let me add quickly something.
Okay.
Can you use black? Because it's clearer. So we say
Abdullah, yes. Amatullah, yes. Abdul Azim, yes. Amatul Azim, Amatul Azim. Yes. Azim. Yes. Al Azim.
No.
No. So you got it? Abdul Azim, yes. Amatul Azim, yes. Azim, yes. Al Azim, no. Special, this is special for Allah. And these are names of greatness. Okay? Okay. And the other thing is that we want to do is that the word Allah, the root word is Aliha. Aliha. And the reason it's called this way, so we say Allah الذي تألهه القلوب. So تألهه, the verb is تألهه, the root is أليها, the root is أليها, the root word is أليها, and the meaning of it that the one whom the heart do أليها for. تألهه القلوب means that Allah. What's the meaning of the word أهلة؟ أليها. It means love to the level of worship. Worship kind of love.
Don't
worshiping kind
him?
Of love, huh?
Don't you have to test him?
Yeah.
He's a TA, isn't he?
No,
yeah.
TA is right there. I'm going to test you at the end.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Wake up. Now, if there is no God, where is the presence of God right now? Allah's present right now in our hearts, right? Allah's present in our hearts. And this is what makes us special, is that Allah's present in our heart. Now, there are people whom Allah is not present at all. Okay? So, why do we need Allah to be present in our hearts? Which is called dhikr. Called what? A dhikr.
Remembrance of Allah.
Yes. To bring Allah into your heart is called a dhikr. MashaAllah. It's called the dhikr. MashaAllah. I'm so proud of you today. Called a dhikr. And you also got the highest in the memorization. So that's good. A dhikr. So a what? A dhikr. To remember Allah and to bring Allah in our heart. If Allah is not present in our heart, we will not fight temptations. So, why should I fight my temptations if there's no Allah? Is there a reason to fight my temptations? Is there a reason?
Yeah.
If Allah is not present, then would I have a motive to fight my temptations?
No.
Huh?
No.
No. Now, if I ask you to fight your temptations in the name of Allah, would you do that? Yes. So I tell you, like the carrots and stick approach, I tell you, you make Allah present to your heart, okay? Then you get the carrots, which is going to Jannah. Allah is not present in your heart, then you might go to hellfire. You're at a problem here. So if Allah is present in your heart, you might go to Jannah. If Allah is not present in your heart, you might go to hellfire. Okay?
How do you get Him present in your heart?
Yes. What did he say?
I couldn't hear.
Dhikr. He said dhikr. Yeah, dhikr. Dhikr means remembrance of Allah.
Oh, okay.
The heart has a room inside this heart. And this room...
is reserved for dhikr?
No. This room is called the focus. The focus of the heart. So you can focus Allah. If Allah is present in your heart, you basically are supposed to focus on Allah. When we finish the dhikr, whether it's a prayer or not prayer, because prayer is a kind of dhikr. When we finish the dhikr, okay, would Allah remain in our heart forever?
Yeah, no. Maybe.
No.
Yes.
No. No, not at all. Nobody is, except maybe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the prophets of Allah. So the remembrance of Allah goes out of the focus of our eye, of our heart, and it goes away from it. So when we do dhikr again, Allah comes back into our heart. Then we go back to our personal business. And when we go back to our personal business, then Allah
goes away,
fades away from the focus of our heart. That's why we pray 5 times a day. Because every time we pray, okay,
remember Allah.
We should remember Allah. We should. And then Allah comes to the focus of our heart. And then we end the prayer and we get on our personal business. Then Allah is absent from our heart. Okay? You understand that? So, if there's no Allah, why should I fight my selfishness and greed? If there's no Allah, why should I donate my money? If there's no Allah, let's say I am a stingy person, don't like to spend money. If there's no Allah, would I ever be motivated to spend money? No. But because there is an Allah, the presence of Allah in our heart makes us sacrifice, okay, and spend money, and makes us sacrifice and donate something good. So you understand what I'm saying? So what I'm trying, what's the point here I'm making? Remembering Allah, will make us able to fight selfishness and greed. That's right, selfishness and greed. All right? Then the name of Allah, the presence of Allah in our heart, make us able to fight temptations. Because if there's no Allah, why should I fight my temptations? Why don't I just do everything I want to do?
Yeah.
Or everything that I like to do? There is, you might think and say, well, people will always, honest people will always, whether they believe or not, they always have the presence of Allah, not the presence of Allah in their heart, I'm sorry. People who don't believe in Allah, but they are honest people, they will testify the truth. They will testify the truth. It doesn't, even if it's against them. So the right thing is to testify the truth whether it's against you. Clear? This is the right thing, is to testify the truth whether it's what? To your favor or against you. To your favor or against you. So when you testify the truth and which is against you, then you will be punished. You will be punished, right?
Yeah.
So that's why people will sometimes not testify the truth. And I have a personal experience with that. That there was my boss. He's very honest and nice guy. You know, I've known him, very honest and nice guy. And then when I left the company, I sued the company for discrimination, basically, because they gave me a hard time. So we subpoena my boss to testify. And the guy did not testify the truth. The guy, exactly, because it would be against him.
It'd be against him.
Against him. It's going to be against him.
His company would
get sued. When pushes comes to shove, okay, the person, unless Allah's present in the heart, this person will have no reason to testify the truth. Now, I'm not saying only Muslims will testify the truth. I'm saying people who have the strong presence of Allah in their heart, they really love Allah, then they testify the truth, even if it's against them. Okay. Now, what is opposite to La ilaha illallah? La ilaha illallah is a declaration of what?
Of your deen.
Declaration of tawheed. Declaration of tawheed. What is the meaning of tawheed? Yes. Tawheed is to believe in the oneness of Allah. Where they call it monotheism. Sometimes they use the word monotheism.
Believe in one God.
Yeah, which is to believe in one God.
Mono means one of the beings.
Yes. Tawheed. What is opposite of tawheed?
Monotheism.
Shirk. Shirk, one of the forms of shirk is to make middle gods, is to worship middle gods. What is the idea? Why would people, you might think of yourself, why people would worship middle gods?
Because gods are too awesome and big, and then we're too small, so we need something to talk to God and to us.
Wow, my little brother.
The one that introduces the worshiping of idols into the Arabia, into Mecca, is called the Amr ibn Luhay. And this Amr ibn Luhay, the Prophet ﷺ said that he is there in hellfire dragging his guts are burst out and he's dragging them in hellfire.
Ooh,
behind. That's nice. his punishment. Now, you might think, says, why would anybody introduce the worship of idols? Why?
Money.
Yes, but how? Basically,
this is a business.
I tell you, okay. This is statue.
$10.
No, this statue is a middle god. This statue is a middle god. This statue is a middle god. Why am I doing that? Because middle gods, statues, dead objects, do they send Qurans? Do they send Quran? No. Do they send messengers?
No.
No. So when I get in the middle between you and Allah by getting you to worship middle gods, guys.
I need a desk.
Here's another desk.
This is too heavy.
Okay? When someone wants to get in the middle of the relationship between you and Allah, why is that? Because this guy wants to take advantage of you. How? Okay. Let's say I worship this image.
Einstein.
Let's say I worship this image. Okay? The one who convinced you that this image is worthy of worship, he wants to take advantage of you. How? Because this image, does it talk?
Nope.
Does it send messengers?
Nope. No.
Does it send books?
No.
So, who's going to talk on the behalf of this image?
Another person.
Yes, the person who convinced you to worship this middle god. He's going to tell you, I am the official representation of this god. Imagine.
Out. I just moved in the UK desk. Please stop.
But you didn't test him yet.
Yeah, I know.
He gets a zero anyway. So, I want you to worship this idol so I can ask you in the name of this idol to do things that is favorable to me. For example, I can say, in the name, let's call this idol Boo-Boo. We call this idol Boo-Boo.
Call it Einstein.
Huh? Boo-Boo. So I say Boo-Boo is a middle god. Why? Because I want to talk on the behalf of this middle god. You understand? I want to talk on the behalf of what? This middle god. Okay? And tell you to do things and don't do things. So who is supposed to give you the do's and the don'ts?
Allah.
Allah. But when I convince you that this is a middle God, then who's supposed to give you the do's and don'ts?
The Einstein.
The middle God. Boo-boo. The middle God. Now, boo-boo doesn't talk or think. So who is actually giving you the do's and don'ts?
The person,
yes, the clergy of the boo-boo. Huh? Yeah. The person who represents boo-boo. Okay? Now, these people, the people who take middle gods, they are being taken advantage of because somebody in the name of boo-boo asking them to do things. So I say, in the name of boo-boo, vote for president, blah, blah. In the name of voodoo, donate to the church or to the temple, donate $10,000 in the name of boo-boo. In the name of boo-boo, okay, marry this person. In the name of boo-boo, don't go this trip. In the name of boo-boo. So in the name of boo-boo, I start making demands. And then you tell me, why should I listen to you? I said, no, you're not listening to me. It is coming from boo-boo. I am the only one who talked to boo-boo. And then puts his ears here and says, okay, look. Okay, boo-boo. What else you want to tell them? Oh, sure, I will. Okay? And then he comes to you and says, okay, boo-boo is telling you, every one of you, to sacrifice a lamb to the temple. Sacrifice a lamb to the temple. Every time you have a request from this middle god, so you go to this middle god, the clergy or the priest of the middle god will tell you, okay, donate $5,000 to the temple. Okay? So, and then we do that because you want to convince boo-boo to talk to Allah so that you can have children, for example. If you're like, you don't have a children and you want to ask Allah in the name. So they tell you Allah is not going to listen to you. Boo-boo is. Boo-boo is young, small enough to listen to us and big enough to get the attention of Allah. This is the idea of middle gods. Like these, they say this is Allah. And under Allah, middle gods. You know? This is the God of the Egyptians. This is the God of the Arabians or whatever. The Syrians. So this is the God of the Syrians. This is the God of tribe A. This is the God of tribe B. So every tribe had its own boo-boo, its own middle God. Look, lift your head. It's having every middle God.
Right, Egyptians, Syrians, and what else?
Americans. So every tribe had its own boo-boo, its own idol, its own middle God in Kaaba. Now, this is opposite to La ilaha illallah. So down here, okay, this is La ilaha illallah. This is the opposite of La ilaha illallah. Anytime someone tries to get in the relationship between you and Allah, he's doing that or she's doing that to take advantage of you. To take advantage of you. Okay, how should we have a relationship with Allah? Should we go through anybody? Should we go to any sheikh? Should we go to any person to ask him to talk to Allah on our behalf? No. You might think that Muslims are not doing that. They are doing that. They go, you know, like these graves. They go to the grave of, for example, Al-Husayn. They go to the grave of the daughters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, things like that. And they built a building there with a statue. And then they get to the people, they tell the people, pray for Hussein. Pray for who? Al-Hussein. And then Al-Hussein will deliver your message to who? Allah. So now, why would anybody wants to do that? Because there's a box called donation box. There's a box called what? Donation box. And this box, okay, this donation box is going to receive donation money. And who's going to ask us to ask you to donate money? Huh?
The guy that built the statue.
Yes, the guy who built the statue. So they have the keys. They have the keys of the what? Of the place, the grave of the this righteous person or this dear person to us. Okay? Do you understand that Muslims do that in the graveyards? And today, as I talk to you, people, for example, in Egypt, they do go and ask the Hussein and say, Ya Hussein, give us this. Ya Hussein, I'm getting blind. Give me my vision back. Ya Hussein, my son ran away. Give me my son back. Ya Hussein, you know? And they are asking it Hussein. So nowadays, this form comes into not an actual statue, but a person buried. The grave of a person becomes the middle god, because people go there to pray. Anybody who tries to get in the relationship between you and Allah is trying to take advantage of you. Take advantage of you. Because this person will speak in the name of Boo-Boo. In the name of Boo-Boo, do this. In the name of Boo-Boo, donate this. In the name of Boo-Boo, pay me charity. In the name of Boo-Boo, don't go on this trip. In the name of Boo-Boo, don't marry this woman. In the name of Boo-Boo, in the name of Boo-Boo, in the name of Boo-Boo, I can talk in the name of Boo-Boo and take advantage of you. Now, is it the low image to think that Allah, is it the low image of Allah to think that he needs middle gods? No. Basically, middle gods are saying that Allah doesn't know about you. Allah knows only about the middle gods, right? And he doesn't know about me and you because we're too little to get his attention. Is that a low image of Allah? Yes. Because Allah knows not only about you and me, but also knows about the presence of this backpack. Allah knows about this clock. Allah knows about everything that you can see around you. And then I tell you, how come Allah knows these details? The answer is, because he is the one who created them. He is the one that made them. He's the maker. He's the what? He's the what? Maker. Now, can I say Allah doesn't know what he's doing?
No.
No. If Allah doesn't know about the things that he made, then it's a negative, it's a derogatory image of Allah. Because you're saying, if somebody says something negative about Allah, what do you say? Subhana. You say Subhana Allah. Means Allah is much better, much way than this description that you label, that you're assigning to him. Now, why does Allah, if there is a tree in the middle of the jungle and it has a leaf falling from it, Allah knows about this leaf. Where is it falling from? Where is it going to? And how fast it is? And where is it going to land? And all this information, Allah knows it. Now the question is, how come Allah knows these details? Because what? Because he made it happen. He is the one that makes it, he's the one that makes this happen. He's the one that makes what? This happen. He's the one that makes this happen. And when he is the one that makes this happen, then he knows what he's doing. And this is why he knows, Allah knows about all these details. Okay? All right. So, Prophet Muhammad, before Islam came to him, before he started preaching Islam, did the people hate him?
No.
The town of Mecca, the people of town of Mecca, did they hate him?
No.
Yeah.
Did they love him?
Yes.
Yes. They called him nice names. What are these nice names? As-Sadiq, Al-Amin. The honest, the trustworthy. The honest and the trustworthy. Now, what happened? When he grew up in Mecca. And then when you grow up in such a small town,
take pictures of this so that you